Well, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us at this important discussion. I think every democracy, every rule of law nation depends on record keeping. It depends on the structure of law and policy and just what we know about people, about whether they're married, where they live, what properties they own. All of that is a very core part of a functioning republic. And while it might seem like this is an obscure office, a county assessor, recorder, this is a key office and a key management role for the functioning of this part of the republic. And so I'm very happy to see you all here. We are recording this session and we'll do our best to present and repackage it for the web. And so I'd ask our panelists to please speak into the mic when you get your chance. I know you'll be talking to each other, but try not to do that sort of thing. It doesn't work. Thank you all for coming. I'm very excited about this. Please do text at 619-374-5382. Tickets will help me get some of that to my phone. And so if I'm looking at my phone, it's not because I'm checking whether we're getting close to the Padres game or not. I know it's not coming yet. Although I did just hear we have a TV ready for the reception after this. So please don't think you have to leave as soon as possible. Yes. Let's jump in. I'm very excited to have Jordan Marks. Hello, Jordan. Thanks for joining us.
Great to see you, Scott.
And Barbara Bree. Welcome. Good afternoon. Their bios, of course, in the program, but I will start with Jordan. I want to ask you, Jordan, you were an employee at the assessor recorder's office. I want you to do your best to explain what the office does. And why it matters and go from there and what your role is there.
Thank you so much again. I'm just going to thank the team, Julianne, Scott. I know most of you showed up to hear Scott talk. I just found that out from some of our audience members and Voice of San Diego. And I saw the La Jolla Country Day students outside helping yes. folks get in. So a shout out to all the high school students that showed up.
Yeah.
And then I told Julianne, I'm going to put a disclaimer on everything that I say. I'm going to give you some tax saving tips today. So whatever money you save, remember to give some back to Voice of San Diego. They're always fundraising. I get your emails as a member. So we have a little fun with it. But I know the reason you came is I want to demystify the assessor, recorder, county clerk office. I call it the best deal in government because you get three offices that were put together in one. And so at the assessor's office, we appraise all real and personal property. We like to say we value you. It's a little tax joke. Yeah. All right, I'm a dad of a three-year-old. I'm going to see if my dad jokes can compete with Scott's over here. We're also the recorder, where we record and maintain records of all your life's most important moments, your birth certificates, your death certificates, and your marriage certificates, not particularly in that order. And then also your realty records. And lastly, the clerk, the county clerk. It's the commissioner of civil marriages. And we do a lot more in these areas, but I'm just simplifying it. We perform weddings and issue the licenses for weddings. So we issue about 25,000 licenses a year and perform half those ceremonies on site at our offices. And we have five offices located conveniently throughout the county that you can get married at. So it's really exciting. I'll tell you, I started at the office and the chief deputy assessor and taxpayer advocate for the office, doing more of the property tax side, but I have fallen in love with the marriage side. It is fun. And you haven't lived until you've seen 100 folks on the county waterfront park for a wedding. And it is just life-changing for people's moments. So that's kind of an overview of the office. And I help oversee the 450 employees, $80 million balanced budget, and really the passion and drive that we have to deliver great customer service. I make sure that that's what our office does. And that's Thanks. Our number one priority.
Thanks, Jordan. Barbara, fill in anything you want to that definition, but also why you would want to take that role.
That's a great question, Scott. I think most of you know my background.
Most of you know somewhat some things about my background. I spent 30 years in the technology world. I was on the founding team of ProFlowers.com and other successful companies in San Diego. But early in my career, I was a journalist. I was a Sacramento Bee and LA Times business writer, where I learned to ask questions, to do my research, to listen, and then to be relentless in getting the story. And I was also the first editor of Voice of San Diego in another era. And what I've learned from all of that is the importance of public service and the importance of holding elected officials accountable. I served 4 years on the San Diego City Council. I ran for mayor. I lost. I never thought I would run for public office again. But last summer, a year ago, my phone started ringing and many community leaders encouraged me to run for this office, assessor, recorder, county clerk, because they felt it was an office in need of modernization and new technology and new leadership. And I did research for 3 months before I said yes. And I said yes just almost about 11 months ago. And I said yes because I did find that the office needed new technology. And lo and behold, in the last month, they've released a new website and a fraud alert system, something that other counties had done years before. They're still working on the integrated property tax management system that other counties have already implemented. And I'm sure Jordan will explain more about why it's been worked on all this time. And I can explain later why it's so important. And one of the key things this office does is when there's new construction, you have to get it on to the property tax rolls at its new value. So when you have an empty piece of land, it's worth a dollar. You build a hotel or an office building. Is it worth $8, $9, or $10? The assessor has to send out an appraiser. And it's important to get it right because that sets the basis under Prop 13 for a long time. And what we found in our research is that the office is slow to get it done. And that's legitimate property tax money we are not collecting to pay for education and other important community programs. And when I talked to the assessor in LA, he said they were $40 billion behind in getting new construction onto the property tax rolls until they implemented new procedures and new technology. So I'm running to bring new technology, modernization, and new leadership to this office. I'm honored that I've been endorsed by SEIU, which is the major labor union. They represent 300 of the 400 workers. And it was a hard decision for them. They did not endorse 4 years ago in this race. They see my opponent every day at work, and I heard many stories of intimidation. But they still stepped up to endorse me for this important position because they want new leadership that listens to them and their suggestions for how to improve what goes on.
Okay, thank you. Well, there was a few things she said there. I want to get your response, Jordan.
Just so much to unpack.
Let's talk, though, about two of them. Barbara, can you just explain more what you meant by integrated property tax system?
So the appraiser, the assessor appraises the property and determines the value. And when you buy a piece of property, generally the purchase price is that value. The assessor then sends that information to the auditor. That's an appointed position. And the auditor applies the tax rate, because depending on where you live in San Diego County, your tax rate is generally between 1.1 and 1.2%. It depends on what the voter approved bonds in your area are. So the auditor applies the tax rate and then sends that over to the tax collector, who actually sends out the bill. So that's how those three offices are supposed to work together. And when you have an integrated system, you have technology that communicates with each other so that things don't fall through the cracks. And remember, I don't work at the office now. And so, you know, I have to get information by doing public records access requests and talking to employees. And I understand the systems do not talk to each other now. And from talking to people in the realists who deal with this office, there are many examples of things falling through the cracks. And that's why the system is so important.
Okay, so I appreciate that. So let's get you to address that one and then we'll go to the next one. Just do that one specifically right now.
All right, let's pick which one.
The integrated tax system.
Okay, so we do have an integrated property tax system right now. It operates through our mainframe system. It's an outdated system that's going through an upgrade. That is true. And what happens is the assessor puts a value on it. The auditor and controller makes sure that, one, we have that checks and balances in government, and then also does apply the tax rate. Now, as a former budget chair of the San Diego City Council, you probably know the tax rate in San Diego is 1.23% up above that band. And if you live in the beach cities, it's actually below 1.1. So just, I know this is very technical talk and I'm going to dig in the weeds a little bit, but it's important because when you're talking to folks that property taxes impact their most precious investment, their homes, I find that people get scared when they hear misinformation. I want to make sure we're all talking about the correct information.
Okay. So second one I wanted you to address was the slow to get it done. She alleged that
yes,
people, assessors, appraisers weren't being sent to these properties rapidly and efficiently.
So again, back to the city of San Diego process and how we interact. And I'll just rely to that because Barbara is a former council member in the city of San Diego. So you have the permit process. I'm just going to take us back one more step if that's okay. And in the city of San Diego, I just looked it up the other day. We had 5,000 permits applied for last year. I think 700 have actually been processed this year. There's a backlog of ADUs and other construction projects. Scott, you've reported on that. The UT's reported on that. When the permit comes to our office, we then go out and reassess it based on permit value. We also apply different appraisal practices. We look at market comps, income approach, different processes, and we have to choose the best way for finding the value. Because I'll tell you, assessing properties, it's a technical skill set. It's not a 1 + 1 = 2. It's an art. And so in our process, we have different appraisers that will come in and you have market rate appraisers that will submit us stuff. And we use all the information to get to the right value. And that's what our office is about. We're about getting to the right value, not the rush value or not the revenue driven value that some folks are driven by.
But, so do you acknowledge there is a lag, but it's because you want to do it fast?
No, and the
reason, I mean, do it well.
The reason why you know that there's not a lag is we actually get audited by the State Board of Equalization. So in the state of California, all the county assessors are audited by the State Board of Equalization. I used to work there. I was appointed by Governor Jerry Brown years ago to work there and oversee county assessors. We have what's called a tax roll. We have to turn in our tax roll annually. It's a statutory requirement. And you don't have to take my word for it. You can go to the Board of Equalization, and if somebody doesn't submit their tax roll on time, they have to file for an extension by law. And we saw some counties do that during the pandemic. Our office, we got our job done. And the reason why that's so important is not only is it important for getting the homeowner their bills on time, but it also is the revenue that does go to our schools and services. And that's why the police officers and the firefighters and a number of other different agencies that rely on our revenue have endorsed me, because we get our job done timely and we get it done right.
Barbara, do you have information that they aren't doing that? Any receipts?
Yes, I have information. And Mr. Marks didn't answer my question. I'm talking about construction that's completed, not permits that are issued, although that does can trigger a reassessment during the construction process. I'm talking about there was empty land and then a hotel gets built. About a week ago, I was at a dinner sitting next to an executive whose company built a major facility. He told me it took 2 years. I mean, I have written data, I have data also, but this is just an example. 2 years before the assessor went out to appraise this property, and they never went back and used the escape assessment process, which you can do to go back in time. So this was a company that built maybe a $20 million building, and they got away with paying lower taxes than they should have for 2 years. This happens a lot in San Diego, and this is what I want to fix so that we collect the revenue that we deserve for our schools and other community programs.
Jordan?
So, running for this technical office, I understand it's hard for Barbara to see all the different pieces. But I do know that I've also found that she's gone from being an investigative reporter to a bit of a storyteller. And I want to lay this out. She went and talked to our LA County counterpart, the LA County assessor, who I had a call afterwards. I'm like, where are these facts and figures coming out about our office being later that we're missing this? And he goes, no, what I said is that we're behind and we're having these issues and they're being attributed to our office unfairly. I have 450 staff members that work really hard. We have to file our tax roll annually. An escaped assessment is when somebody doesn't file their permit, when they do something that is unnoticed. That's different than what we're talking about on the new construction process where there is a permit. We reassess new construction at different phases. So when you grade the land, when you build a certain portion, when you have occupancy permits issued, and when your final permits are issued, we go out and we reassess. And it's with partnerships with the jurisdictions that we do it. So when jurisdictions that were under the leadership of Barbara fall behind and don't get us those permits on time, that's where the lost revenue is. But under Revenue and Tax Code 75.11D, we can actually go 4 years out. Okay. And you know what? We are actually processing our assessments faster and more efficient than we ever have before. We have metrics and numbers that show it. But the biggest number you have to look at is our 2021 state audit, by the State Board of Equalization that says, not only do we do our job with extreme efficiency, 99.77% accuracy, but we also do it on time. And if you ask David Dodson, who's running for Board of Equalization, he did our audit. He'll tell you.
Mr. Marks, I think you filed with the information that you have. What I'm saying is that there are properties out there where there's significant amounts of new construction where you do not get out there on a timely basis so that we, the taxpayers, the residents of San Diego, get the revenue that we deserve for education and public programs. So I think you do a very good job of obfuscating what I am saying.
I'm going to trust the 20 and 30 year auditors from the State Board of Equalization that have an audit report that says we do our job on time and efficiently.
You file versus on with the information that you have. The fact is you are missing information.
We have the permits on file. And so that's what we go by. And so I think it's also fair to talk about, you know, Barbara's husband did a project with our office that was related to assessments. And they had a business. They wanted to sell us this thing that would go and find lost assessments, and I think you were an investor in the company.
I was not an investor at the company. I never worked for the company. My husband sold his complete interest in that company in November 2020.
And I was going to say this for later. Let's deal with this straight out.
So you want to attack me personally?
Let's stop there. Hold on, Jordan.
Yeah.
So let's set this down and litigate this to a point, and we'll drop it as soon as we can. There is a company that was featured in the UT, a story in the UT about properties that it had succeeded in sort of surfacing as having potentially been remodeled or whatever without the proper permits that could have allowed the city and other cities and state to collect more revenue. You and your husband were revealed to be investors in that.
I was not my husband. So what also came out.
Let me just finish. We can correct this in a sec. So. And the matter was dealt with at the city. The argument is that you filed a economic interest form that said that you were an investor in this company. True?
I forgot to check a box that so when you run for public office, and this is something if you ever run, you're going to learn, your life becomes an open book. I've been married to my husband, Neil Centuria, for 22 years. We signed a prenuptial agreement before we got married. We have everything is separate. I don't even own the house that I live in. He bought it before we were married. I had no interest in this company. I never worked for this company. I never owned stock in this company. I never consulted for this company. And the Ethics Commission investigated me and sent me a letter that I'm happy to share with you, exonerating me of any wrongdoing.
Okay.
And this is what happens when you run for public office. Your life becomes an open book because you're trying to do the right thing for the residents. Well,
it would be fair if that company did want to do work for the assessor for this to be examined, correct?
Yeah, but it's they first of all, my husband sold all of his stock in that company.
That's all done. There's no more interest.
And that was in a
so why is it still relevant, sir?
Well, one, I did a very thorough interview with the Union Tribune who endorsed me. And part of that was asking different folks. And look, Barbara's right. We should be talking about our qualifications, the fact that you need to be a certified property tax appraiser, which I am to be in this office, the fact that I have that years of experience, and it is a very technical job. But along that process, and I'm not trying to pursue this conversation, but I got an email from the CEO of that company that said Barbara owns some of the company. And I'm not trying to...
You are. Now stop it.
See that email. Yeah, so let me just tell you that Mr. Marks presents misinformation. I am qualified for this job or I would not be allowed to be on the ballot. If I lived in LA County, I couldn't run to be San Diego County Assessor. So yes, he has a special certificate that if I win, I apply to the Board of Equalization to get. And most assessors in the state do not have this certificate when they win. So they get the certificate from the Board of Equalization and then they have a year to pass an exam.
Yeah. So Jordan, I would like to ask, like, what is we're talking about these technical potential issues and stuff. What does it matter? What are we talking about here that you want to get at?
The reason I'm mentioning this is because Barbara has gotten a lot of information secondhand about the appraisal process. And that's what's causing a lot of confusion. I'm constantly having to correct it in public about the new construction reappraisal process is that the information that she's gotten is some of it from the work that we did with her husband. And some of it's from a secondhand conversation with the LA County Assessor, who I welcome Scott to call afterwards and check out our record with them. We are well known that we are a model office in the state of California because we do our job timely, because we do our job right. I meet with school districts, water districts, fire districts, the folks that rely on the revenue. Trust me, I'd have way more folks at my front door than Barbara if we were not doing our job right and timely and getting those tax bills out.
All right, let's hear from Barbara.
Specific addresses, and I don't know if it's anecdotal or systemic, and I won't know till I get there, of properties where there was significant new construction, and I'm talking millions. I'm not talking somebody adding an addition to their house. I'm talking like the CEO I sat next to, whose property built a $20 million property, and it wasn't reappraised for 2 years after it was completed. This is major. And this is what, and the large property owners in town are supporting my opponent because they like the current system. They're afraid of someone who will bring in new technology and new procedures and figure out that they've been gaming the system. And, at City Hall, I was the first elected official to demand an independent investigation of the 101 Ash Street scandal. I got there. The building had been bought prior to my time on the council, and I started asking questions. Why is the building empty? I went back and I read the lease purchase agreement, which indemnified the seller from all liability. I read the IBA report at that time, which said the city was paying over appraised value. This is the kind of research I've done throughout my life on everything I do. And in the organizations and businesses that I've started, I generally leave everything better than I found it. And this office has not been subject to the kind of public scrutiny that we all deserve. And I will bring that transparency.
All right, Jordan, one quick response and we'll move on.
I just think it's tough to offer scrutiny when you don't have the technical skills to administer the office and the information. And the people that do have that technical, it's like a CPA job, or if you're going to court, an attorney. Right. If Barbara's going to say a law office is doing their job right and has never had a legal license, are you going to trust her to do that, or somebody that's a judge to come in and audit them?
Listen, I have a Harvard MBA. This is about running an organization that's an $80 million organization with 400 employees, empowering your team, giving them the tools they need, making sure they have the appropriate professional development, and then delivering great customer service, whether it's online, in person, or on the phone.
Jordan, finish your thought and then we'll switch.
This is a highly technical office. I'll just talk about the SEIU endorsement. My employees voted overwhelmingly 68% to stay out of the race and respect the fact that I was running. And it was overturned by the leadership. We have the technical people that work in this office. The building industry, the carpenters union, when we interviewed with them, they said they understood it doesn't happen overnight that you suddenly become a technical expert at this job. For the Carpenters Union, you got to be on a job 4 years before they're going to let you go and put up a frame by yourself. And they understood this was the same application to the assessor recorder clerk's office.
All right.
At your life's most precious moments. Okay. And every MBI I know is going to hire a great tax accountant, not try to do the tax themselves, but at your life's most precious moments, we're there to make sure it's done right. Whether it's your marriage certificate getting recorded properly with the state so that it's valid, whether it's your assessment done so you're not overtaxed. I've resolved over 1,000 cases. I've made sure that we do our job right in every part of the office. I work with my team to be better. And on customer service, one of the reasons that the Union Tribune endorsed me was because we've been delivering great customer service for years. We have customer feedback cards. I read 6,000 of them over the last couple of years.
Round it there.
I'd actually like to comment on that because I've talked to people in the real estate industry and lawyers who deal with this office. They've had many issues and they're afraid to say something publicly because of retribution.
Okay. I want to ask about, hold on, let's move on. I have a couple of local issue questions. So people need to be able to make, by the way, kudos to you all for caring about assessments and stuff on Saturday afternoon. I love it. I'm a big fan of all you. So let's talk about some things. People, this is an elected office. This is an office that we choose to elect. We choose to elect certain positions because we don't want anybody else to be in charge of them. We don't want other politicians to be de facto in charge of them. We want to have them answer to the public. And so that person needs to represent the public. And so I want to make sure we have some resolution. So in this, do you both live in the city of San Diego, Jordan?
I do.
Yes.
So in the city of San Diego, we'll have three ballot initiatives, A, B, C. One of them, and then we'll have the Measure U, the school bond tax increase. I want to know what you feel about each of those, Barbara. So Measure A is the one that would prohibit the city from prohibiting project labor agreements. It's technical, but it's pretty significant labor versus business discussion. Measure B would allow the city to explore a potential fee for trash collection, a special fee for trash collection, and a Measure C would allow the height limit to be lifted in the Midway District for development, not just in the Sports Arena area, but for the entire neighborhood. So I'm curious what you think of that, plus the school district's decision to put another bond measure and increase taxes on that, which the assessor will have to help administer.
I'm voting yes on all of them.
All of them, yes.
I don't believe it's the job of the assessor or court or clerk to take positions. I think it's our job of the assessor or court or clerk to provide information. So when our office gets phone calls on D, the school bond, to understand that tax increase on their home and business, we provide that information. For height limit, when people ask us, what does that look like revenue-wise, or how does that impact my property taxes, we answer that question. For the fee for trash, that has no interaction with the office. And for the public labor agreements, we have those at the county, and there's not much. Like, you don't want this independent tax office to get outside its lane.
So you've never taken a position on these?
I have not taken positions on these, and I'm honestly.
Jordan, did you take a position on Proposition 15, the split role, in the last election?
I did, and I'll tell you why. I can explain that.
Sure.
And so in the state of California, we have what's called Proposition 13. It was passed by the voters that created an agreement between you and the government that when you purchase property, you agree to pay 1% of that value or transaction based on what you paid for the property in a fair and open market transaction, and that amount can go up to 2% per year. That is administered by our office. Proposition 15 created what's called a split roll. It took residential properties and commercial properties and treated them differently on tax roll. Remember, I talked about the tax roll that we have to file every year? It created a separate tax roll. That's why they call it the split roll. It would have taken commercial properties and reassessed them every 2 years. That's the difference. So where if anybody here buy a property in 1978, I met somebody outside that did. So, or recently, whenever everybody here, 88% of our properties are under Prop 13. So it would have taken the commercial properties and said, okay, your purchase price that you paid for, let's say it was $100,000 and you're paying 1% or $1,000 a year in taxes, would go to market value. The market value today, let's say the average price of a home, it's on commercial. So let's say the price is $1 million today. It would take the tax bill from $1,000 to $10,000 or 1% a year. So our office would be responsible for administering it. And what happened in the process was we met with SEIU. We, the Assessors Association, there's 58 counties. We work together to make sure that we have efficient administration of property taxes. So that way we don't mess it up. The schools don't get underfunded, that, you know, tax bills don't arrive 2 or 3 years late. Okay. Well, I mean, we've seen that with other areas of government where bills are coming 2 or 3 years later. We don't want that to happen. So we met and did an evaluation of the initiative. Because remember, in California, the initiative process, you don't have to consult and work through the process like you usually do in the legislature and work out the bumps and have input. This was just whatever's passed gets there. And we can look at Prop 19 as that example. We went and issued them a white paper that said a couple of different items. One, you used the tax words incorrectly, and they didn't get as much revenue as they wanted to get there. Okay. Two, you're asking us to ramp up and hire 1,000 people in 2 years. There's a lot of different impacts that it had that were just not functional. So we asked for more time to implement. And for those of you that are impacted by Prop 19, you understand why now. We needed some more implementation time. So we sent them, without saying no, a white paper that said, this is how you can fix it.
unfortunately, you're saying you had a reason as an assessor to oppose it.
So I think it was to oppose it, but Jordan is.
I think it's okay.
Just finish your thought real quick, yeah. And then.
Well, they actually listened to the revenue piece that we had told the proponent of it, and we actually spent $3 million collecting more signatures to get back on the ballot with a new piece that corrected only part of the things that we asked for.
Okay.
And so with bipartisan agreement in our association, which is extremely rare, in the 100 years the association's been around, they've never opposed anything. They actually said, we can't support this. We have to oppose it because administratively it's not functional.
Okay.
And I
don't- Go ahead, Barbara.
So I actually opposed it also. And in many public forums, you know, I was asked my position on it and I said I was against it in a public forum, but I never did it from the dais of the San Diego City Council. And I think, and it was fine for Jordan to oppose it, but what he did is he opposed it on county time at the county building. And so there has been a lawsuit filed by the League of Women Voters and Alliance San Diego with the FPPC alleging impropriety because this shouldn't have been done on county time. So when you ask me today how I'm voting on certain, you know, local measures, I think it's very fair. I'm in a public forum for me to tell you how I'm voting. I think the voters are interested to know how we're voting. I'm not going to hide, you know, and try and appease one group or another because of my vote or this or that. The issue is what's appropriate to do in a public forum versus what's appropriate to do when you're sitting on county property.
Go one quick into this.
I'm an attorney as well, and that's actually made me really good at this job. My family's done, we've been through the office when I got married and had my kid and bought my house. All these things have made me better at this job. But as an attorney, and Scott will tell you this probably as a reporter, you don't sue somebody for the FPPC. You file a complaint.
Right.
I've never been sued by the League of Women Voters. I've never been sued by any of those organizations. I have to say, in full disclosure, those two organizations were being paid to promote Prop 15. They had PACs related to it. They were interested parties. And I was asked to present at the County Board of Supervisors on this issue. It was sponsored by a supervisor before the Board of Supervisors, where the presentation was made. And the second presentation was actually done here at PolitiFest, where I actually worked with Alliance San Diego to coordinate we just want to have a factual presentation of what's inside the initiative. I go, I can't tell people to vote one way or the other, but I do know that we should have a factual presentation. And we joined together at PolitiFest. Unfortunately, some personalities that were not mine, and Scott, you were there, so you remember it, got into it with each other, and that led to that event afterwards. But I've never been filed by the FPPC. Okay, they filed against my boss, which is their right to do so. The FPPC 2 years ago did nothing on this issue. You've been around for a while.
I think one of the things this region is grappling with is it's become far more democratic than it used to be as far as registration numbers go. And as we talk about this elected official representing the community, I think there's some questions about people's alliances and different things. And I'm wondering, you identify as a Republican, a member of the Republican Party. There's a lot of concern, or there was some controversy about your boss's involvement in some of the marriage issues before. And I think there is some concern now about the abortion issue and about the freedom of choice. Locally. Now, you don't necessarily deal with that, but you do deal with birth certificates. You do deal with marriage certificates. There is a world where you could see some of those things being manipulated. What is your take on the access to abortion issue and about where you line up with the Republican Party?
So, one, it's a nonpartisan office because the fact that this is a technical office. And if you read the Union Tribune endorsement of me, they actually discuss my build bridging that I've done within the LGBT community. It was one of the things that when I was hired, I said, we have to make this a priority. Everybody should be able to come to our office and feel welcome and have happiness. And that's why Nicole Murray Ramirez has endorsed me. I'm on some Slate cards and some other groups. The LGBT community has really been wonderfully supportive of my campaign because their life's most important moments for the members of their community and their leadership, we've been there in a supportive way. I worked with Nathan Fletcher to help marry the first same-sex couple from in the military service. We provided that, we helped folks, we've shown up and been there, and we're a relied upon source to know. I mean, really, at your life's most important moment, you shouldn't have to think about somebody's political position or whether you're going to be dealing with bureaucracy of waiting in line for 2 hours to get a birth certificate when you have a new baby in your hand. We do it right. You get in and out of office in 15 to 20 minutes. In regards to Proposition 1, I answered that question with the Union Tribune. And, you know, I did it because I thought it was a fair question because of what had happened with my boss. And people are going to wonder, is this going to be an activist that's going to have some sort of thought to go and deny folks? Because realistically, with women's reproductive rights, there are the clinics and the hospitals that we do the exemptions for. Okay, in my entire time, I actually got a text message from Barbara's team saying there's never been an issue on it. There never has. Under my leadership, there never will be. We do our job independent of any of that. But also, I'm voting for Prop 1. My wife and I used Planned Parenthood services when we were in college. Okay. I'm not saying she had an abortion, but we use it for, I should clarify that because my wife will get angry at me if I don't. We birth control and the other things that we had access to, and it was important, and it's part of who we are as California. I don't think that the voters will show up and do anything different, but I thought it was important based on my experience having come into the office that there be no question whatsoever about me having some sort of alternative agenda. We've done our job right. We're going to continue to do our job right. And my commitment to great customer service and making sure everybody is welcome, nobody has a thought other than I'm getting great service and they're doing their job right, is in their mind when they're in the office.
Barbara, I want to ask you, you mentioned that you...
I'd like to comment a little on Jordan's answer.
Okay, but I want to ask you this question. So go ahead, sure. Quickly.
So first of all, I applaud my opponent for deciding that he's now pro-choice and voting for Proposition 1 after years of attending anti-abortion rallies and holding up very questionable signs like abortion is murder. We've documented all of this, demonstrating against the appointment of Elena Kagan to the U.S. Supreme Court. But he's probably seen the polling that shows that 70% of Californians are going to vote for Proposition 1. I am a former board member of Planned Parenthood. I am honored to have earned their endorsement in this race. I started an organization called Run Women Run. Actually, both Planned Parenthood and Run Women Run are outside here to elect San Diego pro-choice women to office. I started Run Women Run in 2008. I have been passionate about in my career and my life in protecting women's reproductive health care rights. It has been one of the major things I have worked on.
Okay, let him respond to that real quick. And then I'll move to this next.
I've been pretty libertarian leaning my entire life. I can go to sleep at night knowing my position. I've been endorsed by board members, not the formal organization, but board members of Planned Parenthood, because I have to know who I am at the end of my day. I'm not going to change my position. But yeah, in my 20s, I was at a rally with folks who held that position. It was not my position. I'm a free speech advocate. That's always been, and there's video from the rally that Barbara won't show what I said because it don't talk about pro-life or reproductive. I talk about free speech on college campus, and I think free speech is important. But I will say this, you can look at my family's donation records. You can look at my endorsements, and I'm going to go to sleep at night knowing that I said who I am and what I believe and be truthful. And that's why I've earned over 3,000 community endorsements, including board members from Planned Parenthood.
Okay, Barbara. I noticed you said yes to Measure B, Measure C, the height limit. Mm-hmm. You opposed that before.
Well, the environmental impact report wasn't done the first time around.
And now you're comfortable.
I'm comfortable that what I really think the city is going to need to do, though, to get it passed is to deal with the appropriate infrastructure for the community. Which the city has not yet dealt with the appropriate infrastructure to deal with the additional construction, with the additional people that will go in and out of that area due to, you know, the construction. And then we've recently learned that the Navy now has very ambitious plans to develop their piece of property. And I don't think they're going to need any approvals from the city to do it. And that could be a terrible impact on that community. So I hope that the city will get involved with what the Navy is going to do and have some sort of a coordinated effort. I doubt anything is going to happen in that area for the next few years, just given higher interest rates and other steps that the city apparently needs to take.
Okay, let's wrap up. You can address anything from before or make your final case for the office. I'll start with you, Barb.
So first of all, thank you all for coming today to learn about this office that has operated under the radar for years. As I said, I never expected to run for public office after losing the race for mayor. But life has many chapters, and I was encouraged to run, and I'm honored to be endorsed by the San Diego County Democratic Party, by Planned Parenthood, by SEIU, which represents many of the workers in the office, by the San Diego Labor and Imperial County's Labor Council, Senator Pro Tem Tony Atkins, and many other elected officials. My whole life have found myself in new situations, starting companies, starting organizations like Athena San Diego to empower women in tech and biotech, being on the founding team of proflowers.com back in April 98, when, you know, most people who even had internet were using dial-up AOL. And I've had to figure out new things every step of my life. And much of my life, I was the only woman in the room or one of a few women. And I've been successful because I've been able to build teams who have diverse skill sets. And that's what this office needs right now. It's an office of 400 employees, a budget of $80 million. As I've talked to employees who are afraid to stand up and talk openly at work, because that's where my opponent is every day, they are desperate for new leadership. And it was very risky for them to endorse me. They could have just stayed out of the race and done a no endorsement, which is what they did back in 2018. But I'm asking for your vote because it's time to bring modernization and new technology. There is money that is left on the table. That is why my opponent and his supporters are spending over $1 million on this race, a race that has never attracted this kind of money because it impacts their pocketbooks. And they know that this woman with a Harvard MBA who demanded an independent investigation of 101 Ash Street, who was the first elected official to oppose Soccer City. I actually read the 1,000-plus page ballot measure and realized it was a scam and had the confidence to stand up. They are afraid that I will figure out that they owe us money, that they owe us money for education and other community programs. So as we election month is starting, ballots are going out next week. I would be honored to have your vote.
Nice. Jordan?
I just want to say thank you to everybody that came here today. Usually the assessor recorder clerk office doesn't have this many fans and people that are interested. I've really enjoyed my career at the assessor recorder clerk's office. Since I've joined the office, we have launched a new website and it doesn't just appear overnight. If any of you know government budgeting, you got to get there in advance and you got to plan. The records are there. We have a new program, Owner Alert, that's going to let taxpayers know if somebody tries to commit real estate fraud and steal their property. It's going to be an electronic service automatic. We're delivering records faster and we're going to do it. We're actually dropping fees down. We have a great customer service track record. If you've been to the assessor recorder clerk's office, raise your hand for me. All right. If you've received service from our office and it was great, raise your hand for me. All right. That people know, and I don't want to tell you anecdotal evidence. I want you to go to our office and experience if you haven't and see what great service looks like. I was with Mandy a couple of weeks ago and her husband's a disabled veteran. And that's one of the programs I concentrated on when I got to the office to make sure we were doing it better, faster, reaching more folks. And I had just the best day because he told me when he got to our office, he was in and out in 15 minutes. And it was unlike any other part of the government offices he experienced. And it delivered real results to their family. And so when I got to the office, we went from 4,500 veterans to over 13,000. That's $18.7 million that went back in the hands of disabled veterans. We have more homeowners receiving the homeowners exemption. That's $32.8 million a year. We have more money going back into homeless services, which is why Deacon Jim Vargas from Father Joe's Villages said, Jordan's a part of the homeless solution. He's delivered us the tax information we needed to save and get more homeless folks off the streets. I'm not endorsed. Forget the organizations. I have 34 professional organizations that just appreciate a well-run office. But I have community folks that we've impacted their lives, and they know they get real service when they come there to our office. They get great service. They get treated fairly. There's accountability, and we're a service-oriented office. And so I'd like to continue leading that office. We have great vision ahead of what we're doing. We're implementing new technology that's going to unleash all sorts of opportunity. We're working with open data folks. We're working with our city partners to make sure that they're getting online and the services that they need. But it all happens with our core function of technically knowing how to do this job. And if you don't want your property taxes messed up, then you hire a professional. I'm a professional. If you want to make sure that that birth certificate that you show up with to go and get your passport's going to be right, you hire a professional. I can do that. If you want to make sure that that death certificate's right and you're working to get that apostille for the body that you want to take back to Mexico, and we do a lot of that, making sure that that moment isn't messed up, it's done right through our office and our partnership because we technically know how to do it correct.
Thank you.
And I'm just going to say this. It's gotten better, and we are the model office in the state of California, and we can do better. I'm not saying that with ego. The reason why we're the model office is because everything starts with your feedback, your information, knowing that we're not getting everything 100% right, but we can strive and constantly improve it. And that's what we've done. And so that's why our number one customer feedback comment in our office is, please take over the DMV. I'm not saying that because we're proud. I want the DMV to be better, but we just do a great job at your life's most important moments. And so you can trust me as a certified property tax appraiser, as an attorney, and as somebody that's been in the office with a real track record of delivering for the community, that's going to continue to get there. It's going to continue to get better. And thank you for the opportunity. I hope I earn your vote.
Thank you. Take it. I think we're ready to wrap it up. Coffee break now. But first of all, I just want to say, it's hard to run for office, as Barbara pointed out, and it exposes you. It's a vulnerable experience, but it's a very important one. And when people run for offices like this, it helps hold the office accountable. It helps define the office. It helps education. It helps everybody be more part of the republic that they live in. So thanks to you both for running.